Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see everybody gathered in to God's house this morning. And I'd just like to thank the Reverend McKee for those kind words of welcome to be here, and especially our Brother Roy for asking me to come and speak here at Children's Day. It really is a great privilege. It's just about a year ago I realised I was going to be accepted into college. I think it was on the 2nd of July last year. And if somebody had said to me a year on that you'd be speaking in Children's Day, I would have laughed at them. I wouldn't have been able to do it, and I'm struggling to do it as it is, but the Lord has blessed me and helped me this year. Can I just thank you all for your prayerful support and your practical support to me and to my wife throughout the past year of college. It's been greatly appreciated, and honestly, it brings a lot of strength to me as I go and preach round and as I go to college, knowing that God's people remember us in prayer. It really does help us greatly. Can I just thank the boys and girls as well? I really enjoyed your presentation. It's not easy to get up in front of people or to get up in front of a microphone or a camera to record. And we certainly know that ourselves this year. It's quite different. But you've all done remarkably well. And you've all certainly spoke to my heart too. When I looked at you and seen your enthusiasm for the Lord and your love for the Lord and your happiness to be able to do it, it really spoke to my heart. Have we got the same happiness, us who are older, have we got the same happiness the children have whenever they do things for God? Can you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5? Turn with me, please, Luke chapter 5. See if this clicker works as well. Go ahead. We need our brother Adam to click it. I will read and we'll pray and we'll see if Adam can get that going. This is the joys of technology. Me, myself, I write all my sermons out by hand. I write every single word because I'm not a great person for technology. Being able to make a PowerPoint this week was a real struggle for me alone, so I don't go any farther than that. But we'll read verses 18 and 19, please. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. We'll just break into the chapter there. Christ has been teaching in a house, and we come now to verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him as the man with the palsy before him, that is Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. We go now. It's working now. We just bow in a moment's prayer and ask the Lord's help as we come around his word today. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee that we're gathered into God's house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the health and strength to be here. And Lord, we thank thee for your precious word that is now open before us. We do pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart, young and old, from the youngest boy to the oldest adult, that Lord will be spoken to today. We'll be rebuked and chastened and encouraged and blessed. And Lord, we'll go out of this meeting saying it was good for us that we were in the house of God. Lord, come and minister unto us, we pray. Grant me clarity of mind. Grant me plainness of speaking. Do speak through me and use me. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen and amen. The question I want to ask this morning, boys and girls, older people, adults, young people as well, is what can you do for God? What can you do for God? If you're saved this morning, there's something you can do for God. You know, you may think I'm too young. You may think, oh, I'm only 4, 5, 6, 7. There's nothing I can do. Maybe people say to you, you're too young to do this or do that or whatever. But you know, you're never too young to do something for the Lord. I'm 26. 20 years ago, I sat where you were, give or take. And you know, those years have really flown. Those 20 years have just went like a flash. I used to, the church I went to when I was with my mum and dad before I was married, there was only two sets of pews, and I used to sit on the right-hand side, third pew from the front, just over in the corner. We used to sit beside the radiator. It was great in the winter, terrible in the summer. You were sweating in the summer, and you were wonderful in the winter. But I used to sit there and listen to the Word of God. And you know, when I look back over those past 20 or so years, I can't believe how the time has flown. I can't believe what things have happened. And if you're a child today, if you're young today, don't waste your opportunities. The Lord can use you for himself. You're a young person today. This might be Children's Day, but I'm going to speak to the young people and the older people as well. The Lord can use you for himself. 10 years ago, when I was 16, 17, the Lord was calling me into the ministry. I didn't listen. I'd done my own thing, and those weren't great years after that. I wasted my years for the Lord. And when I look back over my life, I had so many wasted opportunities. And you here, young people, don't waste your opportunities, and the older people as well. We have so many opportunities to use for God. Maybe it's a work colleague, a friend who's not saved, a neighbor, whatever it is, you have all opportunities to use for the Lord. But you know, the Lord also has prepared us for those works he's going to give us to do. He's given us gifts. He's given each and every one of us gifts. And our brother would just change the slide there for me, please. It's not going to work, is it? Well, anyway, in God's word, it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And each and every child of God has a gift that he can use for the Lord. Each and every one of us, doesn't matter who we are, we have a gift we can use for the Lord. If our brother changes the slide again, please. You know, a gift that the Lord gives us is not like a present you get at Christmas time. It's not like a fancy present you get on your birthday, whatever. It's something that he has given to you by his Spirit. You know, a gift in the Bible, as God talks about it, is something that he has given you that you can use for him. As you see there, it's not like a present like that. I'm at the age of my life, used to be whenever it was my birthday or Christmas or whatever, I was looking forward to getting my presents, but now I'm at that age where I get socks and shaving gel. That seems to be the only presents I ever get. And if you're a man today, or you're a daddy, or an older man like myself, you know what I'm talking about. I see all the men nodding around me saying, that's what I get as well. That's all people ever buy me, nothing else. You know you're starting to get over the hill whenever that's what you get as a present. But you know, the Lord gives us gifts, and every one of us has something very special. Your brother, just turn the slide again, please, there. There's four just little examples of gifts I just want to leave with you this morning. You know, there's quite a few different ones, but I want to leave just four with you this morning. There is the gift of speaking. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to speak for the Lord. Each and every one of us can say a word for the Lord. And as I've said, maybe it's an unsaved friend or an unsaved loved one or an unsaved neighbour or a work colleague or boys and girls. Maybe it's somebody in school that you know that's not saved. Somebody in your neighbourhood. Somebody you play with in the evenings. Maybe it's an unsaved cousin or maybe an older brother or sister. You know, you can speak to the Lord. You can speak to them about the Lord if you're saved. But also as well, another gift for Brother Clicks the Slide. It's great to have somebody who can use technology. I can't. But another gift is listening. Now, each and every one of us can listen. Some of us are better at it than others. It's always a good thing to be a good listener, and especially a good listener as a Christian. I remember as a child, my mum would have said to me, she had been doing her ironing, and she had the ironing board out, and the iron sitting, the lovely shiny iron. And she said to me, don't you touch that. Now, don't you put your hand on that. And of course, mum turned her back, and what did I do? Put my hand on the iron and burnt my hand. I didn't listen. You know, that's my excuse as well, why I'm no good at ironing. I don't try and do ironing. That's my excuse. I see all the men around the place nodding their head. I'm going to use that this week so I get out of it. But no, man, it's good for us to do things around the house and to help the wife. And I'm saying that because my wife's here. I don't want to get in trouble after. But, you know, as older Christians as well, we need to listen. It's good to pray for each other. Maybe a brother or sister comes to you and they say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to do this for me. I'm really going through a lot of trouble here. I need help. And it's good to pray for them. But also when they're struggling, one of the best things we can do for them is listen. It shows we care. It shows we're interested. It shows that we're not just trying to get away from them as quick as we can. No, we listen to them. And that will help them as well. And then lastly, our brother clicks that slide. There's two at the bottom. Learning and teaching. Just put those together. Now, that may seem a strange thing to say to the boys and girls especially about learning and teaching. But you know, those are gifts that even the children have. And boys and girls, you have these gifts as well. What do I mean by this? Well, I maybe don't mean standing up on a pulpit and teaching, although you probably do a much better job than me. But I mean when you're in children's church and when you're in Sunday school and when you're in the children's meeting, you can learn verses from the scriptures. You can learn what the scripture means. You can learn about Jesus Christ. And then you can go and teach your unsaved friends about him. And you know, it doesn't have to be anything very fancy. Maybe you're in school or, as I say, around the neighborhood. And maybe another boy or girl says to you, what did you do last night? Or what are you doing tonight? And you say to them, I'm going to children's meeting tonight. I'm going to Sunday school this morning, whatever it is. And they say to you, what do you do there? What do they talk about there? You say, well, we learn verses from the scripture. And they say to you, what do you mean by that? And you say, well, last week we learned John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And you know, boys and girls, that's all it takes to speak for the Lord. But you know, I want to tell you here, we read those verses in Luke 5, and I want to tell you about a group of men in the Scriptures who used their gifts for the Lord. We read about it there in Luke 5. And if your mummy and daddy afterwards, after the meeting's over, when you go home, you can find it in Luke 5, 17 to 26, verses 17 to 26. But you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother changes the slide, please. This technology does nothing for my nerves, I can tell you, to be honest, but we're getting there. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in a house and he was teaching the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, as they call it. And you know, the Pharisees were men in those days who apparently knew a lot about the Scriptures, who knew a lot about the Bible. And they thought they were really smart. They thought there was no one like them. They thought they really were the bee's knees, as it were. But you know, the Lord was teaching them and other people as well. And a group of men, we don't know how many men, most of the flashcards and things you would see say four, but the Scriptures don't really say, we don't really know how many there was. But these men heard the Lord Jesus teaching. And not only were they listening, not only were they taking in what he said, not only were they enjoying it, but they'd done something else which was so important, something so wonderful. You know what they'd done? They decided to bring their friend to Jesus. They had a friend, verse 18 it says there, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. A man really paralyzed. They had a paralyzed friend, a man who couldn't walk, couldn't do anything for himself. And they decided they wanted to bring him in to hear Jesus and what Jesus had to say. And you boys and girls, you can do that too. You can ask a wee boy or girl, a wee friend you have, would you come to children's meeting to meet with me? Would you come to Sunday school with me? Would you come to church with me? You can do those things. You're not too young. We all can ask a friend into church. You know, if our brother changes the slide there again, please. And you know, what they done was, they took his bed, or perhaps they made him a bed. We're not quite sure, the Scripture doesn't say. But they took his bed, they used what they had, and they carried him to the place from where he lay. He was lying, he was paralyzed, he wasn't fit to do anything for himself. And they took him from that place, and they took him to where Jesus was. Brother, move it again, please. And, you know, verse 19 says there, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. You know, when they got there, they saw that the place was surrounded. They saw that they couldn't get him in. Can you imagine that just for a moment? You imagine this house, probably wasn't that big, I would imagine, and people pushing and prodding and squeezing past each other to try and get in. And maybe only enough room to peek your head over a smaller person, whatever it was. And there wasn't enough room for a man on his bed and his four friends. But did they give up? Did they give up? Did they say, no, we'll go home. We can't do this. We're not going to get this man in. It's no good to us. No, they did not. Brother, you change that slide, please. No, they went to the rooftop. It says there, it's read it in verse 19. They might bring him in because of the multitude. They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And you know, boys and girls, in those days, the houses had steps up the side. Maybe some of you have been on the farm. Maybe your granddad's a farmer, your daddy's a farmer, I don't know. But the old barns years ago used to have steps up the side, and you could have walked up to the top story. But the houses in these times, there was actually steps up the side, and you could have actually went up onto the roof. That's just the way it was. It's quite foreign to us, but back in Bible times, that was quite normal. You know what they done? They didn't let anything stop them. They said, we are getting our friend to Jesus. We are going to get him in. They did all they could for God. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And so they made sure they were going to get him to Jesus. Why? Because they knew that Jesus alone could heal their friend. He alone could do it. You know, change the slide, brother, please. There's five wee things I want you to see about these men. Just five short, very important, five short things about these men I want you to see. And the first thing is, they were ordinary men. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us they were special men. The Bible doesn't tell us they were carpenters or doctors or lawyers, whatever it was. It doesn't tell us they were incredibly skilled. Verse 18 just says, and behold, men. That's all they were. Simple, honest men. And you know, boys and girls, if you're saved today, you don't have to be a great, smart person or any of those things. The most important thing you have to be is just faithful to God, and just do what he has called you to do. Just speak for him. Just love for him. Just use all you have for him. And our brother clicks that again. But you know as well, they used what they had. They used what they had. Now, whether they were rich or poor, we don't know. Whether they were old or young, we don't know. But we know one thing. They used all they had for God to get their friend to Christ. Our brother clicks that again. They did all they could as well. You know, they knew Jesus alone was able to save their friend, and they let no barrier stop them. No matter what, they were going to get him in. And what about you this morning? Maybe older person more than a child. You know somebody who isn't saved. You know somebody who isn't washed in the blood. Do you stop? Do you get down and do you lose your belief? You say, God's never going to save this person. You know, friend, I was saved just before I was 5. Most of my family saved, but my granddad's not saved. And for the past 21 years, give or take, I've been saved just over 21 years. I've been praying for my grandfather that he would get right with God. And you know, friend, he's still not saved. I can remember I was in a hospital. I had to get an operation on my arm. And my granddad says, I'll buy you something for being in hospital, son. I'll buy you something. And I says, no, granddad, what I want you to do, I want you to go to church. And he went to church that Sunday. He listened to what I said. But you know, he's still not saved. But I keep praying on, and I hope and pray someday the Lord will save my grandfather. And friend, today, if you have a loved one, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, I don't know what it is, and they're not saved, you keep praying, you keep going on, because these people, these men in the scriptures, they did all they could. They didn't stop. They didn't let any barrier stop them. They kept going on. And you can imagine us, we were taking our friend to church. Say tonight we go to take our friend to church, and we look and we see all the people and we say, there's no room, no point, we're not going to get in. This is a waste of time. Is that what we would do? How often, whenever we see the barrier, do we say, no, let's just give up? How often, when we see no fruit, do we give up? But you know, verse 20 says this, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, because they kept going on, they would not stop. They would not let anything stop them taking their friend to Christ. You know, I was reading this week about A.W. Tozer, great man of God, in about the 40s, 50s, and 60s in America. And before he got saved, he was an awful man. He was a great sinner. He'd done many a bad thing. But he was walking one day past an open air, and the people were preaching. And, you know, he didn't go to church. He didn't listen to any of those things. But he was walking past this open air, and one faithful man just put out his hand. He said, take a gospel tract. And A.W. Tozer took that tract. And I'm sure that man, when Tozer walked past, he didn't know him, but when he walked past, I think he thought, I'm wasting my time here. I'm wasting my time. Nobody's listening to me. But you know, Tozer took that tract, and later on, he read it, and he got saved. The Lord won him to himself, and he was used as a great gospel preacher for the Lord. I was reading recently there about a missionary, I can't remember his name, but in the 20s and 30s in South America, he went out, and he really labored for the Lord for many years. And he seemed to see no fruit amongst this tribe in South America. Nothing seemed to go right for him. He felt broken. And he came home and he died and he never saw the fruit of his labors. But 20 or 30 years after his death, another missionary team went out to the same tribe. And they expected that tribe to be incredibly backward. They expected that tribe to have no real love for the Lord or nothing, to be heathen as it were. And they went out and they went through the jungle and they looked in. And that tribe had churches. They had the scriptures, the same Bibles that man brought in, and many of them were saved and won for the Lord. Friend, there is always fruit. We might not see it in our lifetime, but we will see it, and we must keep carrying on for God. These men did all they could, and the Lord used them mightily for him. Our brother clicks that slide once more. They were faithful as well. These men were faithful. You know, they didn't take them somewhere else when they didn't see it. They seen they couldn't get in. No, they carried on. They made sure they were going to get them to Christ. And lastly as well, your brother clicks that, please, they were humble. You know, the names aren't even recorded in Scripture. They didn't say a word. It doesn't mention them saying anything here. They didn't go to Christ and they said, we brought this man to you. We know you can heal him, but where's our reward? Where's our reward for what we've done? Will you not celebrate us? No, they brought him. They simply did their duty as a Christian should do. And friend, today, that's the way we need to be. Boys and girls, that's the way we need to be. It's not about us. It's not about who we are. It's about what the Lord can do for the people that we bring to him. And then, brother, click that slide. This slide is just a little recap. What gifts have you got to use for God? What gifts have you got to use for God? And brother clicks and brings them all up there, please. You know, you can speak to someone about the Savior. You know, boys and girls, you can speak to an unsaved friend about the Savior. You can tell them about Jesus. I know that's hard. I know that's not easy. I know when you go into school or wherever it be, or maybe you're an older person, you go into work, and people look at you and they think you're different, and that you say to them, I'm a Christian, and they laugh at you, they mock you. I remember when I was in primary school, it was a Christian primary school, really. It wasn't a Christian school, but nearly all the teachers were saved, and I had that privilege. But when I went to the grammar school, it was a totally different story. Entirely different story. The headmaster used to get up every morning and do the assembly. He used to bring what he called a word from the Bible, but most of it was very wishy-washy, and he didn't tell anybody they needed to be saved. Everybody was going to heaven in his eyes, and it was a difficult place. And I can remember people knew I was a Christian, and they said to me, oh, he's one of the God squad. He's one of them Bible bashers. That's what he is. But you know, friend, it was great. It was great that they knew that I was one of the God squad, as they called me. It's great that they knew that I was a Christian. Maybe today you're in school, primary school, secondary school, whatever. Maybe they don't know you're a Christian. You step out in faith and you say to them, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I follow Christ. And by doing that, you're doing a great work for him. And secondly as well, you can pray for a family member. Prayer is the greatest thing you could do for a family member who's not saved. C.H. Spurgeon was asked the question by a lady. She came to him and she said, Mr. Spurgeon, what's the greatest, reading your Bible or praying to the Lord? Spurgeon, in his old eloquent way, said this. He says, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Friend, that's the way we need to be. We need to be praying. We need to be reading. Boys and girls, you need to read your Bible. Always read your Bible and pray often. In the mornings, when you get up, try and pray. It's hard, but we try and do it. In the evenings, before you go to bed, you pray. If you're worried or you're anxious or you're nervous about whatever it is, you pray. Always pray. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to your Savior. And as well, you can learn the verses that you've learned. You can tell others about the gospel. And then there's just five little points, very short points I want to look at about the man as well. Our brother, change that please. First point is that the man, this man with the palsy, he was helpless. This man was entirely helpless. We've seen he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. This man couldn't take himself to Jesus. He couldn't get up and walk and run to Christ. And you know, friend, today, if you're not saved, boys and girls, you're not saved. This man is a picture of the sinner helpless in his sin. What is that word sin? That word sin is breaking God's law, breaking God's commandment. Romans 3, verse 23 in the scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. What do I mean by sin? Well, boys and girls, older person, lying, stealing, being disobedient to your parents, doing things that you know are wrong, those are sins. Those are wrong before God. And you know, we're all born sinners. That's what the Bible says, Psalm 51, verse 5. For we are born in sin and shapen and iniquity. And this man was helpless. And if you're unsaved today, you're helpless as well in your sin. You're just like this man. You can't get to Christ on your own. You're helpless. You're helpless today. Secondly, he was hopeless as well. This man was hopeless. He didn't know where Jesus was. He didn't see how things were going to get better. He was lying there in that bed, or wherever he was, and he needed somebody to do everything for him. He needed his friends to take him, but they maybe weren't going to take him, and then eventually they did. You know, boys and girls, older person, is that you today? Are you sad? Are you miserable? Are you feel hopeless today? Do you feel life's not worth living? Are you in despair today? Do you wish, just what's the point in all this? Maybe older person, you're in here this morning, and you're thinking, why am I here? Why? What is life? What is the point in all this? You know, friends, sin makes us despair. Sin separates us from God. Boys and girls, we've broken God's law, and we can't enter heaven with sin in our hearts. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, therefore, we have no hope if we die without Jesus Christ. And we will go to that awful place called hell. And nobody wants to go there, sure. They don't. No, we don't. Well, in order not to go there, we need to be saved. We need to be a Christian. We need to ask the Lord into our hearts. And then thirdly, with this man, he hoped. See, his friends heard about Jesus. His friends saw Jesus teaching. What did they do? They went and they told him. And this man hoped. They came to him and they likely told him. They said, this man Jesus can heal you. This man can take you away from where you are now and make you walk again. They believed. And boys and girls, older person, Jesus Christ can help you too. You hope in him. He alone can save you. He died for your sins on the cross, and he shed his precious blood that you might be saved. He's the only savior of sinners. He's the only one that can help you today. And then fourthly, he was helped. The man was helped. He was taken to Jesus. And we read there in verse 20, And when he saw their faith, this is Christ, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven of thee. And then later down those verses, we see that he was healed of the palsy. He was healed of the palsy, but he was forgiven of his sins. And you know, friend, you can be saved today. You're a sinner today before God. But Christ can do what he did for that man for you. He can save you as well, and he can wash your sins away. He's waiting, and he's willing to save you. Boys and girls, today, the Lord Jesus said, our brothers read it, suffer the little children to come unto me. Christ wants to save you too. He can save you today and make you his child. And then lastly, he was happy. Verse 25, you read it there. It says at the very end of the verse. It says at the very end of verse 25. I'll read the whole verse. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. He was happy. He had peace. He glorified God. Everything was good now. And you know, friend, no matter what you face today, if you're unsaved, you know, the Lord can help you through it if you get right with God. You know, I remember when I was doing my 11 plus, my transfer test, I was so afraid, so worried about it. It was the biggest thing I'd ever done in my life. But the night before it, I was reading, and the Lord gave me the verse in the Psalms, "When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up." And you know, that night, I felt that my mother and father were forsaking me because they were leaving me in that exam room on my own. What was I going to do? But you know, the Lord helped me through it. And many other times the Lord has helped me. And there's no other friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe, boys and girls, today, you're wanting to get right with Him. Well, you know, He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Lord. Brother, change that slide. And let's ask you the question. What will you do with Jesus? Will you ask Him into your heart? How can you be saved? And brother, change that to the last time. Your work's done for the day. You'd have to turn and trust. Turn and trust. That word turn means turn away from your sin, repent from your sin. It really means turning around from your sin and then trusting in Christ, asking Him into your heart today, asking Him to be your Savior and to be your Lord. And you know, verse 17 says there, just at the very end of it, it says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Friend, today, the power of the Lord is present to heal you. Boys and girls, the power of the Lord today is present to save you if you will ask Him into your heart. When I got saved, I prayed a simple prayer. I prayed, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away all my sins. Lord, save me." And He saved me then, and He saved me for all eternity. Will you be saved today? Boys and girls, will you ask Him into your heart? Older person, young person, will you be saved? I trust you will. And boys and girls who are saved, what will you do for God? Older person, young person, what will you do for the Lord in these days in which we live? Will you use your opportunities for Him? I trust you will. Amen. We'll just bow in a moment's prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy precious word, and Lord, we thank Thee that these accounts are recorded of what the Lord Jesus Christ done for those in the times of the Bible. We thank You, Lord, that He can heal even the stoutest of sinners. And Lord, we pray today that You will use each and every one of us who are saved. You will use us in the days and weeks that lie ahead, the boys and girls, and us who are older. And Lord, You will use us for Thy glory. And any here, Lord, who are not saved, boy or girl, mum or dad, granny or granda, Lord, You'll bring them to Thee, we ask and pray. In the Saviour's precious name, Lord, give us journey and mercies home and bring us back safely again tonight. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.